Welcome back to Grazia Life Advice. I'm Rhiannon Evans, and this time we're with a Kurt Geiger trustee.
My name is Bernadette Higgins, and I'm a presenter, model, and activist, and I'm this week's guest on the Grazia Life Advice podcast.
Bernadette tells us all about starting to follow her dreams after her leg was amputated.
I learned to walk very, very quickly, and I just got stood out there and started trying everything that I had always wanted to try.
She tells us about her amazing work with children who have been diagnosed with cancer.
A lot of young people don't think that it can happen to them, which is makes it even scarier for them. I remember even in school, if someone came in to give a talk, it would usually be like an older person talking about things.
And finally, we chat about her presenting for Northern Irish football.
It's mad because before I would use my legs, obviously, to play like football and Gaelic and things like that. Things that I can't really do as much anymore for this prosthetic. So this is kind of my way of still getting to be involved.
All of that plus dealing with imposter syndrome and gaming. Bernadette is a ray of sunshine. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, Bernadette. How are you today?
Good. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm absolutely delighted to have you on here today. And we're really lucky to have you because you are working with Kurt Geiger's Kindness Foundation. Could you just explain to me a bit about who you are and how that came to be that you worked with them?
So it's crazy to say it, but I'm one of the directors on the board for the Kindness Foundation. And part of what I do is I help make decisions on how we can help people. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just use my own experience from different situations that I've lived and people that I've met and learned from. Yeah. But we're always just trying to see it from the point of view of the people that need the help so that we can provide the best support.
And just to talk about your own situation, if you're comfortable with that, you people might know you from a documentary you did in 2021 with the BBC, or from your modelling work, or from your presenting work. But you have had one of your legs amputated following a battle with cancer, yeah?
Yeah, just after turning 22, I was diagnosed with synovial sarcoma, right, which is a really rare kind of cancer. It's like one in a million. Mm-hmm. But at the stage that my cancer was found, it had wrapped itself around my nerves and my blood vessels. So the only option then for me was to amputate.
And so why did you find the Kindness Foundation such a great place to work with? And what was it that drew you to it?
So I just love everything that they stand for. I was actually one of the first people, well, I actually was the first person, I suppose, on the People Empowered campaign.
Yeah.
And after I launched the campaign with them, I just continued working with Kurt Geiger because I just think they're amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they decided to bring me on to the board for the Kindness Foundation after that because they could see how passionate I am in regards to providing help and support to the people that need it, that are disadvantaged and like the marginalised groups.
Yeah, because one of the main objectives of the foundation is to bring people who might traditionally find it hard to get into creative industries to within creative industries, right?
Yeah, we're always just trying to focus on the different marginalized groups, and we try to always improve diversity and equality in the creative space. Like, this hasn't really been done before, and a lot of amazing people haven't been able to access opportunities to grow and learn and work in the creative industry. So yeah, we're changing that.
Yeah, I mean, I know you have spoken very positively, almost, if that was the right way, about how cancer affected your life and losing your leg. I think you've said, I think you told one of the newspapers your life began when you kind of got cancer and you started living then. I mean,
yeah.
Did you find that you got more opportunities, less opportunities, and how did that work for you?
See, before I got sick, I just used to go to work every day and go home, and I watched everyone else kind of living their lives and doing the things that they wanted to like try. But I never allowed myself to try different things that I wanted to try. So it took for me to realize that life is so short.
Yeah.
So whenever I got sick, I learned to walk very, very quickly, and I just got straight out there and started trying everything that I had always wanted to try.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've turned that, to other people as well and helping them, I guess.
Yeah, I love being able to use what's happened to me to help people. So I get the chance to meet like lots of kids and everything, and help them customize their prosthetics, and just I've gone into schools and things like that to teach them about diversity, just to make sure that everyone's just accepting each other and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, because ideally it wouldn't even be a thing, right? It wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a point of difference for you, if that makes sense. I guess, is that the aim?
Yeah. I just want everyone to just see each other as equal, really. So in the likes of schools and things like that, sometimes with kids they might just not understand it, so they might treat others a wee bit differently, but it's just going in and showing them that there's nothing wrong with looking a wee bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled to have you here and to have your six best pieces of advice. And your first one is, if you don't try, you'll never know. So tell me why you think that is so important.
So I think it's because it's something that I've pretty much lived. Mm. So like I was saying before I got sick, I wasn't trying anything, so I never knew. But yeah, it took for me to get sick then to start trying things. Like, for example, I used to watch loads of like America's Next Top Model and things like that. Mm. And I always loved the thought of modeling, but I never ever thought that I could do it. So I never tried.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I got sick, I tried it. And that same day that I tried it, I ended up getting signed and
really?
Having two photo shoots. So
wow.
Yeah. So it just took for me to try it.
Wow. And do you, you know, obviously you're telling this story, how many years on since you found the cancer?
4 years now, yeah, 4 years.
So you're kind of telling the story, obviously, you know, quite quickly in a way, like this is what happened and mm-hmm. then this is how I went on after it. But, you know, it must have taken a long time. Do you remember thinking a lot about, you know, what you wish you had tried more? Do you remember that being something that was going through your head a lot?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. There was just different things that I was thinking that, like, this could go either way and everything. And, like, there's so much that I wanted to do that I've just never got the chance to experience.
Mm.
But I'm getting to live all of that now, so it's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. And tell me what you love about modelling. Why was that something you were like, this is where I want to go?
You know, one of the main things for me, actually, was I had seen on Instagram a model with Down syndrome.
Okay.
And I realised that I had never seen that before.
Mm.
And then I was there just with my prosthetic and things, so I was just like, you know, I don't actually see anyone else that really looks like me. And I kind of realized that was missing. So I was just thinking, well, I want to be able to do it to try to show that it's possible.
Mm.
That was actually one of my main reasons as well for Enduro Miss Northern Ireland. So
yes.
I went into that as well because there was no one like me before in any sort of beauty pageant, I suppose, a beauty competition. But I just wanted to try to show that you can take part and you could even win.
Yeah. And in the time that you have been doing this and you've been modelling, I mean, have you seen things change? Was there resistance at first and now there's not? Or have you always, you know, been, you know, welcomed more than you have expected?
I think there's definitely change happening, but I think that there's still like a long way to go mm-hmm. because sometimes you'll see certain things where you can tell that some companies might be just trying to tick a box and things like that, but then you can see the other ones that really do care and they care about creating that change. So yeah, there's still a long way to go, but it's definitely happening.
Great. Your second piece of advice, I mean, look, it's something that we try and tell ourselves quite a lot, you know, especially when
mm-hmm.
things are tough, and that is that everything happens for a reason. You know, how have you seen that in your life?
I think, again, it just kind of goes back to me getting sick and me losing my leg and stuff. I think I could have easily just chosen to be sad and yeah. get down about it and lock myself away in a wee room, but I just decided that everything happens for a reason and I want to try to do something with what's happened to me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you must recognize as well that, you know, it took a lot of additional from within you as well to mm-hmm. to get to where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. It's very hard for a lot of people and not everyone adjusts to it in the way that I have. Mm. So I'm lucky, like.
Yeah. What I mean, because you kind of seem to suggest there was this before and after you. I mean, is it that simple mm-hmm. or were you always kind of like interested but you hadn't had that impetus to kind of do things?
I think I've always had interest in things mm-hmm. but I just didn't think that I could do it until I realized that I just needed to try.
Yeah.
And it took for something really life-changing to happen to me for me to finally try things.
Yeah absolutely. And you must now look on that experience and at least think, you know, as you say, everything happens for a reason, I guess, is another way of saying, like, take the good from bad things that happen too.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's actually a video of me whenever I just got diagnosed because no one knew, but I went and found out alone and things. So
right.
I went out and I recorded my reaction on a video.
Yeah.
And even in the video, I was saying, well, I've had 22 years with both my legs and not everyone even gets that. So I've been lucky. So
wow.
now I get a chance to live with a wee robot one day.
Yeah. I mean, have you always been a positive person then? Is that something that comes naturally to you?
It's something that I always try. I always try to like take the positive sort of things, but yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Especially back then, I definitely was.
Yeah. And were there moments when that was tough or?
No, not really, because I always just try to make sure that I was experiencing it and seeing it as something new and something that I could learn and try to use to help people. So for me, I was always focused on helping people. So it didn't feel like a bad thing. but I can see how it can be for a lot of other people.
And you work with, I saw in the documentary that you did, you know, you've worked, gone back and worked with children who've also had to experience amputations. I mean, how, you know, why did you find that important to work with children specifically?
A lot of them don't have anyone that really looks like them or can fully understand how they feel. I know I'm a wee bit older than them, but I can understand them and try to give them advice and teach them wee things in regards to even learning to walk. I can help them customize and things just so that they don't feel like it's something scary.
Yeah.
And I just kind of try to get them excited instead of afraid, because it's a new thing to try.
That must be hard work sometimes. And sometimes you must think, oh, that's a tough day, isn't it, to go in and talk to a child who's been given that news.
Yeah, it's always hard, but I'm like, I wish I could take it from them. But yeah, it's hard. You just always have to hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me your third piece of best advice, please?
This piece of advice actually means a lot to me. It's the flame inside you has to burn brighter than the flame around you. And I've always said, if I get a tattoo, I want to get a tattoo based on this.
Okay.
And I don't even know where I learned this, but it was in my head one day. So I must have learned it from somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that.
Explain what it means and what it means to you specifically.
For me, it feels like no matter how crazy or bad things are getting all around you, you just have to try to stay motivated and passionate to keep fighting through it.
Mm-hmm. So it's about making sure you're stronger inside than the things that are going on around you.
Yeah, like if things are trying to tear you down, you have to stay strong.
Yeah,
and keep pushing through. Yeah.
And how do you find that now in your life, you know, dealing with your prosthesis? And I know you've talked about having phantom pain still and really struggling with that. I mean, how do you continue to do that in your life today?
I just always, again, it's actually always just thinking about the, like, helping people and thinking of like the kids and stuff that I get to meet. I just always try to remind myself that it's all worth it because I'm getting to help them.
Yeah.
So I just keep pushing through myself.
Yeah. And do you have a great support network? Do they, that kind of, some days you must need to draw on some strength from other people, I guess, as well?
Yeah, like my best friends are just amazing.
Mm.
I have like Eamon and Ariana, they're just so close to me. So they're always by my side helping me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And why, you know, like, why did you think it was important to, you know, take that step and make sure that you were fighting? You know, sometimes it must have felt like, oh, actually it would be easier just to kind of end that bit of my life and get on with something else and not have to talk about everything that happened to me all the time. You know, what a lot of people would consider one of the worst moments of their life.
Mm-hmm. I just obviously try to make sure that I'm putting information out there. Even the way that I recorded the video whenever I got sick, it was because I'd realized I hadn't seen it anywhere and I didn't know if there was maybe someone after me that was going to get diagnosed that needed that kind of advice. So the more information that's out there, it's like, it's good for anyone else that's going to be diagnosed in the future.
What kind of information do you think is lacking, and what would you like to see more of?
A lot of young people don't think that it can happen to them, which is, makes it even scarier for them. I remember even in school, if someone came in to give a talk, it would usually be like an older person talking about things, but everyone always thinks like, oh, it'll not happen to me, but it's possible. So it's just trying to create that awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. And such a fine line to tread, isn't it? Like awareness versus scaring people. I think that's always such a debate when we talk about cancer, making sure that people aren't too scared to check, but making sure they're aware enough to check.
Yeah, exactly. No one really wants to talk about it and think about it, or people will always say like the big C and things, but it's so important to recognize that it's a real thing and it can really happen to you. So you need to be aware and always check your bodies.
Yeah, and you said your cancer was very, very rare. How did your diagnosis come about?
My diagnosis actually took a pretty long time. Right. I was trying to get tested and checked for a long time. It took almost 9 months to finally get diagnosed.
And because of, you were having pain, were you?
Yeah, I was getting a lot of pain in my leg, and at first there was a wee tiny bump starting to form, but they thought it was just like fat or something growing in my leg, so they weren't really checking it, but then it was just getting worse and worse over the months and getting bigger to the point that I could barely walk and things. So yeah, by the time then it finally got checked, I was red flagged and I got diagnosed.
Yeah. And sometimes it is about advocating for yourself, right? Especially these days, you know,
definitely.
And saying like, no, this isn't right. I want you to carry on looking at this.
Exactly. Because even for me, I was going back and going back and going back and trying to get them to check to the point of even trying to book double appointments because then it's like more time to listen. So
right,
yeah, it's really, really important to just stand up for yourself. And if you don't agree with what people are saying, just keep on fighting for it and get yourself checked, because you know your body best.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back with more from Bernadette after this. I'm here with Bernadette still, and we are on your fourth piece of good advice. Could you please tell me what that is?
Yeah, it's treat yourself how you treat your best friends.
Okay. I mean, that makes absolute sense, doesn't it? But of course, isn't that easy sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Because it's all about being kind to your mind. I think it's so easy to be very self-critical.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be that critical of the people that you love and you care about. And you need to care about yourself enough to realise that everyone makes a wee few mistakes. So yeah, you can't get too down about it.
Do you have self-critical moments then? Do you have moments when you kind of doubt yourself, or?
Yeah, a wee bit, yeah. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, I could have done this better, or I could have, even sometimes I'll be walking, I'm like, what, I could walk a wee bit better than this. Mm. Like, just different things like that. But it's just recognising that it's okay. So if not everyone is perfect every single day, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, have you found your self-confidence grow in the years since, you know, you've had your diagnosis mm-hmm. and operation? Have you found that your confidence has grown, or has it been kind of an up and down journey, or?
It's definitely grown. Before it, I was so shy and self-conscious and things. Like, I wouldn't even so much as really take a photo. So it's definitely grown, because it's went like a wee bit of a 180.
Yes.
Because now I'm doing all like the modelling and presenting and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about your presenting. So you present, mm-hmm. You were saying you present the Northern Irish football.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Yeah, I got involved with them actually after doing Miss Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. So I went in and just recorded a few videos for them, and then I ended up connecting really well with the fans and things. So I've just continued on, and now I'm getting to present for them too.
Is that something you always loved? Was that always a passion of yours?
Yeah, I love the thought of presenting. I've always loved it. Again, it was one of those things that I didn't think I could do, but here I am. Yeah. But I've also been very sporty always growing up. So it's mad, because before I would use my legs, obviously, to play like football and Gaelic and things like that. Things that I can't really do as much anymore for this prosthetic. So this is kind of my way of still getting to be involved. And it's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. And it must just feel like such a strange place to be, you know, when you've been a fan and now you're at the forefront of it.
It's so fun though, because I'm getting to watch other people kind of live their dreams, because for me it was a hobby and something that I enjoyed, but now I'm getting to see all the young ones coming in and live their dreams playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have this big Instagram following now too, obviously, you know, from doing the modelling and the presenting. How do you find dealing with that, having an audience watching you?
Oh, it's so mad, because I love like posting what I feel like posting, and sometimes I'm like, does anyone actually care about this, or is it okay just to post this? So I got in my head a wee bit there, and I was like, I don't think anyone actually cares and wants to actually see this, but I've realised it's my page and I should just post my life and things I want to post.
Yeah, and you've got this big following now, so obviously they do. Obviously that is what people are interested in. Your fifth piece of advice is no one really knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell me about that. Why is that important, do you think?
Imposter syndrome. Mm. Everyone has it. Mm. I was actually speaking about this recently, actually, with the board for the Kentish Foundation. But yeah, everyone's just kind of figuring things out as they go along a lot of the time. Mm. Even heads of companies and things like that, you might think they know everything and they've got it all together, but everyone's just learning and growing. So, yeah, imposter syndrome.
Hey, whereabouts have you been when you've felt imposter syndrome hit?
You know, it's mad. Even the fact that I'm doing this, I'm just like, hi. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just from Belfast. I just do more.
And that's right. That's, you know, a lot of what I guess the Kindness Foundation are trying to do is it's saying like, you know, it's intimidating sometimes to think that everyone else knows what they're doing. But when you get in those rooms, you realise actually you might be as qualified, but, you know, there's a lot of people who won't even get to that point to find that out because they kind of count themselves out first.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I feel like I relate a lot to a lot of the young people maybe that were getting the chance to help, because I've also been in that position before where I felt like I can't do it. So yeah, it's great getting the opportunity to help them.
And when you say you didn't feel like you could do it, what was it that was blocking you, do you think, when you were thinking, oh, I'd quite fancy that, but I don't think I can do it?
I think it's like for me personally, it's even just like location and things like that, or even a lot of people with disabilities don't feel like they can do things, but a lot of people don't have the opportunities to get into the creative industry around them. But a lot of people are also disadvantaged because of maybe race, gender, disabilities, things like that. So it's just about, we're given those the chance to enter those spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't be what you can't see, can you either? So it's like getting those first people into a position where people go, oh, well, I can do that then as well.
Exactly.
I mean, when you talk about disability specifically, I guess people, you know, there are literal physical barriers, right? Like, you know, disability provision isn't what it should be in a lot of places. I mean, do you sometimes still find that difficult? I mean, that's crazy in 2023, really.
Yeah, like it's actually making me think about one of my friends, Lucy Dawson. She was invited to an event that was with a brand and she thought it was amazing. She thought it was so inclusive. But when she got to the event, she realized that it actually wasn't accessible. So she couldn't even go into the doors, but they wanted to use her to promote the brand. So things like that, it's hard. So it's just about trying to make sure that things like that don't happen in the future, because she had to leave and she felt obviously very uncomfortable and very sad. So yeah, it's making sure things like that don't happen anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
That does go into what your sixth piece of advice is, which is that actions speak louder than words. And you know, that's absolutely true. I mean, where have you found that, and why do you think, you know, that is the case?
I think it's so easy to say you want to do things, but it's making sure that you actually do them. And yeah, there's so many people and brands and organizations out there that say they want this change, but it's actually doing something about it. And that's why I'm actually so proud to be a part of the team with Kurt Geiger, because I'm actually getting to see the changes happening.
And on, you know, kind of like a little bit more of a specific level, I mean, what changes would you like to see within, you know, the creative industry and specifically certain workplaces?
You know, something I would love to see, there's so many people with disabilities maybe that want to get into like working on sets for audio, camera work and things like that, but they're not being given the chance because they're probably seen as not as fit because of their disability. So I want to see more people with disabilities working on sets, creating things, because they just think it's probably not possible.
Right, and being behind the scenes, because it's not until you have people in those positions that who are saying, well, actually, this is a story, this is interesting, and that this is what you should be talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
We always like to finish on a piece of bad advice you've been given. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what yours is, please?
My bad advice is just stay positive. And it's so mad, because this was something that I actually used to think was a good thing. I always thought that I always had to stay positive, and people were always asking me, how do I always stay positive and things? So I think that added a wee bit of extra pressure onto me to make sure I'm always happy. But I kind of realized that you can get very easily burned out by always trying to stay positive. So it's just about taking time to yourself as well. And you don't have to feel happy 24/7. So yeah, just about being true to your own mind and your own feelings.
Right, because I think even earlier I said, you know, you seem such a positive person. Have you always been that way? And I guess, is it about saying just because you can be positive doesn't mean that's where your head always needs to be?
Exactly. It's definitely good to always try to see the positives out of different situations. But sometimes people just have bad days, and it's okay to have a bad day.
Yeah. And how do you give yourself rest? Because I think when you put yourself in a position, you know, you've put yourself in and said, I'm going to, you know, I want to help people and I want to be visible. You know, how do you take that rest when people want to talk to you and see you and ask stuff of you?
I kind of go into my hobbies at that stage. I'll just take a wee bit of time to myself. So I love gaming, and I love streaming my gaming.
Right.
I'm meeting new people and things like that. So sometimes I'll just take a wee bit of time away and just play my games and chill out.
Are you quite good at recognising when you need that rest? That's half the battle, right?
Yeah, definitely. I never used to be good at it, but one of my friends started to recognise it, and then I kind of started to see the signs in it myself, so now I know.
So they recognised it in you and said, I think you need to take a break.
Yeah, like one of my best friends, Eamon, he used to see it and just say, I can tell that you haven't really been sleeping because you're so busy, you need to take a wee bit of time.
Right.
So now I make sure that I do.
I mean, how did you react to that the first... Oh, that's hard, isn't it? How did you react to it when the first time he said that to you?
At the time, I was like thinking, oh God, I didn't realise, I feel a bit tired, but I didn't realise as much. But yeah, now I realise that I need to make sure that I'm also taking time to myself, because I'm not able to be the best person to help other people if I'm not even really helping myself with him. So, yeah.
No, exactly. And that goes back to having that amazing support network around you. Like, mm-hmm. you need that sometimes, don't you?
Definitely.
Bernadette, thank you so much for your time and for your advice. I've absolutely loved talking to you. Thank you so much.
It's been so nice speaking to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
If you know someone who would have enjoyed that chat, please share and recommend the episode. And don't forget, follow the podcast wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode. Take care. Bye for now.